You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
This is the future.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
It's alive, it's alive!
It's the sound of science!
Could a fungus from the bottom of the Great Lakes hold a cure for cancer? We're nowhere near the final answer, but a team of scientists believes there's promise in newly discovered Great Lakes fungi. One of the researchers is with us now. Robert Chiovich once lived in West Michigan. He went to grad school at Michigan State. These days, he is a natural products professor at the University of Oklahoma. It is a pleasure to welcome you to Stateside.
Well, hi. Thank you. This is fun.
Well, now tell me first about this field of natural products, because I'm going to admit I don't know that I've ever encountered someone who is a professor of natural products.
Well, natural products are these amazing molecules that are made by all sorts of things from nature, bacteria, plants, marine organisms, all sorts of different sources. These molecules have an immense impact on human life as we know it. Roughly half or more of the drugs that are currently approved by the FDA have their origins in nature, and they have tremendous impact, especially if we zero in on fungi. Just considering probably the most important molecule ever discovered from fungus, penicillin, that molecule has changed the course of history, and we owe a lot to it as a society. So, yeah, natural products are amazing.
So you have taken up the torch that is passed on from Fleming when he discovered what penicillin would do.
Absolutely. And you could trace that back even further to the use of crude drugs from plants and other organisms going way, way back. So, yes, natural products has a history going back, before history was even written down.
So what was the project that led you and your fellow researchers to start thinking, you know what, we want to start digging at the bottom of the Great Lakes?
As a drug discovery group, we are always looking for new organisms, and new organisms oftentimes translate into new molecules, new natural products that they make. And so looking for these novel sources led us to an exploration of the Great Lakes. And I'll say that my upbringing in Western Michigan has, I guess, planted that seed that's always been in my head about wanting to go there. And this just all came together as a wonderful opportunity. We were launching a project to look for leads that would have potential applications toward pediatric cancers and underserved population of patients there just aren't adequate drugs for. And so in looking for what kind of fungi would we be sourcing for this, it seemed like an amazing opportunity to come back to the Great Lakes, because we were shocked that the Great Lakes, despite being one of these largest freshwater bodies in the world, they just didn't have any record of an entire kingdom of life, the kingdom of fungi, being recorded from them. So we dug in and came up with lots and lots and lots of new organisms, new records for the Great Lakes, as well as many new species coming from the bottom of Lake Michigan, Superior, and even Huron to some extent.
So an extra bonus, as well as this search for something to tackle pediatric cancer, all these digs you did really contributed to knowledge of what's living at the bottom of the Great Lakes.
Yes, it had a dual purpose in the end.
So you basically start scooping up stuff from the bottom of the lake. Tell us what the process was and what you did with the goop you collected.
Sure. So the process and project was highly collaborative. The person involved in collecting these samples is Dr. Mark Luttington. Turns out that as an undergraduate at Grand Valley State, Dr. Luttington was one of my professors, and he also planted the seeds of doing research in the Great Lakes way back when with me. And I had contacted him with the idea of exploring the Great Lakes. He had access through the Annis Water Research Institute to be able to sample all over the lakes. So he would collect the samples from these various positions. They would then get split and shipped both to my lab, where we do fungal culturing, as well as mycologist lab, our collaborator Andrew Miller. He works at University of Illinois, and he is an expert in fungi. So he would culture fungi using certain conditions. We would culture fungi here using other conditions. And then we would combine that collection. We'd grow them, prepare extracts, and test them with our cancer collaborator, Dr. Susan Mooberry. She's been a longtime friend and partner working on cancer drug discovery. Phenomenal pharmacologist. She would test and then tell us which samples had the highest probability of being extra good for exploring. And then we would grow them up in large scale and then work on identifying the compounds responsible being made by that fungus for killing a specific pediatric cancer cell line.
Am I correct that the fungi you found were particularly happy to grow on Cheerios?
Oh, yes, you are correct. That is something we came up with several years ago. Anytime you're trying to do drug discovery, especially the way that we approach it, we try to look through as many strains as possible, do things in larger numbers as possible, and it can get costly. And we are federally funded for our research, and we are always looking for ways to save money and help the taxpayers receive even bigger bang for the buck in the research that we do. And for a variety of scientific reasons as well, we were exploring all sorts of different food sources and ultimately came upon Cheerios as this amazing food source for fungi. Basically, every fungus that we culture grows on them. They make tons of natural products. You can get a hold of them in bulk at excellent prices, so it's a wonderful fungus food.
That's fascinating. I will remember that when we're pouring that bowl of Cheerios tomorrow morning at breakfast. So you weren't looking for, like, the kind of compound that would kill off a lot of cells. You wanted it to be selective.
Absolutely. That is the key thing. Every cancer patient can tell you stories about the chemo that they receive and all the side effects. Basically, side effects, you're seeing the ugly head of these other targets that these drugs are hitting and poisoning the cancer, but it's also poisoning the body to some extent. And so the more selective, the more tuned you can have that molecule to hitting just the cancer, not all these other off targets, the better off the cancer patient will be. And if you can imagine an adult and the suffering they go through chemo treatment, just imagine what it's like for a child. So zeroing down, trying to find those molecules that have really great selectivity for their particular cancer is going to do wonders for them as a patient population. I just can't imagine having a child, being a parent of four children. If one of my children had to go through that, I mean, that would be absolutely horrific. And moreover, even if they do manage to survive their cancer, and I'm referring to pediatric cancer patients, if they manage to survive that round of chemotherapy and they go into remission, oftentimes these kids are looking at, in their late 20s and 30s, at secondary cancers caused by the original chemotherapy they received. So you want to find something that is as tuned to and selective for their cancers as possible.
So what did you find? What was the most promising fungus you found, and what type of cancer do you feel that it might hold hope for?
Well, one of the cancers in the panel that we screen for is Ewing sarcoma. So it's a solid tumor that affects primarily bone in children, oftentimes in their teens, sometimes 20s is when you see it. There aren't a huge number of cases, roughly a couple thousand per year that are diagnosed, but there's nothing out there specifically to treat it. About half the kids who get these cancers respond to them. That is, they go into remission. The other half, unfortunately, succumb to their disease at a very young age. The unfortunate thing, however, about these survivors is that, as I just pointed out, the drugs that they receive are quite toxic, so they inevitability end up getting a secondary cancer and dying later in life as a result of that original tumor that they got.
So you found one that seemed to be pretty specific for this.
That is correct. And that, I would say, is really one of the remarkable highlights of the project at this point. This molecule that we've been so fortunate to find comes from a fungus. It is shows incredible selectivity for the Ewing sarcoma. We are working right now with Susan's group as well as some of her additional collaborators in the field of pediatric cancer. We've got quite a team who's working on this molecule right now, trying to figure out how it works, what its promise is in terms of actual application, looking at a huge range of tests, both in pharmacology and toxicology right now. I'd say this is one of the molecules that, after being in the field of natural products, in an independent position at Oklahoma since 2005, this is one of the few molecules that really gets me hyped up. This is very exciting.
So it's something to keep our eye on. Certainly there is a long way to go before you could point to something that would be given to a patient.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you pointed that out. It's unfortunate. You know, we all get excited about our research, and we want to share it with people and get other people excited about it. The reality of drug discovery is that the discoveries of today, you're typically talking 10, 15, 20 years until it ends up in a human. And you know, there's a lot of steps to go through, but it's meant for people's safety. And it's hard to be patient when people are dying and there's nothing that you can do. But that patience is what makes, I think, the U.S. medical system so strong, is that we have a lot of protection for patients.
Professor Robert Chiovich, who is a natural products professor at the University of Oklahoma. Some fascinating research. And when we think of Great Lakes fungi, realizing that perhaps there is a life-saving something in that fungi. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Well, thank you very much.